Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
What's up, everybody? We are back with the new year, first episode back of 2024 of Whiskey and Wires. Who we got today?
It's Ethan.
And back again, the friendly neighborhood bald guy, James.
The friendly neighborhood bald guy.
A.K.A. our cybersecurity expert friend.
We got all the experts. Oh, you guys, how was your New Year's?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should say New Year's. We haven't, like, really talked since Christmas time, but I guess holidays in general, huh?
See, I got a little bit of a leg up on this guy, on Ed here, because Ed was still nursing a little bit of his sick. A little bit coffee still today. I got sick like 3 weeks previous, so I was good and clear for a long
time. To Christmas or New Year's?
You got us all sick.
I didn't get you sick.
You were the first. You own it.
No, I didn't.
I hope you don't get me sick. I haven't been sick. No, I've been good. I mean,
there's no sickness here.
You better knock on wood.
I think I have. I should have played the lottery after that.
Right.
Did we talk about that last time? I don't think we have.
You mentioned it slightly.
We didn't go into great detail. Oh. That was in the episode afterwards. Like, there was some mentions.
Oh, gotcha.
But, you know, basically, you mentioned it as your incident, which it's a wide gamut.
We didn't explain that you died.
That's episode next.
Yes. A lot of jokes. You died around Christmas, and you have risen with a beard.
Just
haven't seen both of you in the same place.
Let him rise. It was wacky, absolutely wacky. But so you guys were all sick. You were sick too.
I got literally Christmas dinner. Went to a friend's house, and from what I understand, everybody who was there is just extremely sick. And it's that cold going around where it's like for 48 hours you're dead to the world, and then you have a cough that doesn't go away until next Christmas.
Like a gut? Like you ate something wrong, or like no, you picked up something?
It was kind of like flu like cold symptoms. Yeah, it was a flu cold.
Yeah. And none of y'all are catchy now, right?
No. It's just the we hate going out now because it's the like I'm completely fine, and then you're just like, you know, you're coughing like you've smoked 3 packs a day at you know, the casino, and you're just like, I'm fine, I promise.
You don't sound fine.
There's that cold flu thing going around. There's RSV going around, and there's COVID going around, all in this area. So yeah, knock on that wood.
Lovely.
Golly. Yep. I wonder if it is that new strain.
I know I tested positive for COVID when I got sick, which was about a month ago now.
Yeah, a little over a month.
That we had gone 3 years, 3.5 years, no COVID. This is our first time getting it.
Then bam.
Yeah, then bam.
Let it run its course.
We were so sad. It was like the only interesting thing about us was that we'd never caught COVID.
Yeah. Can you smell?
Yeah. It didn't. It affected my smelling.
Sorry.
Let me rip one in your face.
No, that's actually, I heard that as a joke. It's no longer called a Dutch oven if you fart under the covers. Yeah. It's now called a COVID test.
That's so true.
My wife was not as amused as you guys were. I'll just say that.
Yeah. That is so funny, and that's so true.
We had bad symptoms at first, and you know, got really bad, and then it evened out over the span of about a week.
I think when I got it, I think it did jack up my nose, like what I smell. Because somebody would be like, even in, you know, in here or wherever, they'd be like, "Oh, you smell?" I'm like, "No,
no."
I'll dig my head so far down a freaking garbage can, and they're like, "Can you smell?" I'm like, "No,
nope." That's the worst.
It's a superpower, or maybe that happened when I died. I lost that ability to smell.
My sister-in-law, my wife's brother's wife, sister-in-law, can't smell. Just has never been able to smell, apparently.
Forever? Or is this COVID thing?
No, she's been like that.
Just forever. And it's funny because we'd light candles and stuff. And last time we were there, she's like, "Oh, I really like that candle." And Katie, my wife from across the room, was like, "Why do you like it?" Trying to like catch her on it. Like, can you really not smell?
I like the way it burns.
Yeah,
exactly.
It looks really bright.
Pretty colors.
Yeah.
But yeah, super nice. Can't smell.
Oh, man. So we got some whiskey to taste as per usual. What do we got here? Are we going to do a control burn?
I think we should. Now, I heard a rumor you have something interesting.
I do. I absolutely do. We have... I don't even know what it is.
Unmarked.
It, I mean, this is straight up some moonshine looking stuff. No, it's not moonshine. But
I was about to say 2024, the year of the moonshine.
Yeah, this is. We have to. I mean, with everybody going rogue off grid and everything, they're going to have to make that's going to be like your medicine.
I fully support when the new economy rises. It is a whiskey based economy. That sounds amazing.
I actually really like that. So I really can't place it. So I'm very interested on your take. I think it's good.
Is this the first time you have contributed a whiskey to the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It's their show.
New year, new you. I like this.
Yeah. Well, we've done, like, you had that homemade, what was that?
I don't remember. Got it.
It was like a homemade Bailey's.
Was that Yeah. I still have that. Yeah, a buddy of mine made that. It was really, really good. You control that?
Yeah, no, there was basically the same sort of a thing. A friend made homemade Bailey's.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I need Ed your feedback here.
Oh.
So, smelling this?
Yeah.
It reminds me when we went to, there's a distillery in Kentucky that they were rather new, mm-hmm. and they do micro barrels, sort of 5 gallon barrels.
Yeah. I think this is a smaller, yeah.
Yeah, you could age them in like 5 years. You have a 5 years is equivalent to like a 12 year whiskey.
Oh, really?
So they can do a 1-2 year, and they're like a 4-6 year because of the volume to surface, you know.
Mm hmm.
In that barrel. Okay. This taste smells like it.
You don't like it?
Has nothing to do with that smell. The smell.
It caught me by surprise.
Yeah, the smell and the taste do not match up.
The smell is a young bourbon smell, a young whiskey.
Yeah. Taste it, and then I'm going to tell you what it tastes like to me.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It tastes like bacon.
Yes, it does.
Damn, it does have a bacon.
I need a bacon.
He rendered this shit in bacon fat.
That's a bacon whiskey. Okay,
but I'm not a fan of like flavored stuff, but that's really good.
I wasn't until I had the Screwball whiskey.
You like that?
I do.
I like the idea of it.
So, as a sipping whiskey, but you just know like I can never mix this with anything ever.
Unless it's jelly. Screwball.
Hold on.
That's what I was going to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Screwball whiskey. We've had it.
Mm-hmm.
He had it at my house, right?
Yeah. Actually, I'll go into it. Go ahead. Yeah.
But we mixed Screwball. It was Truly, a berry flavored Truly.
Truly.
And,
oh my God, you guys made a peanut butter
and jelly drink.
Yeah.
I had a guy who I worked with back when I did the sales job who did a Screwball whiskey and it was White Claw, like a grape White Claw. And it sounds so sugary and nasty.
It's actually pretty good when you chase it. You know, you chase it after. And
yeah.
So we did it.
We did it more of a chase, like you take a sip and then more than mix.
We went one step deeper. I think it was my son came over. And we did, there's another.
The monkey one.
It's monkey banana. Shoulder?
No, it's the banana whiskey.
Banana whiskey. It's Howler. Howler.
Oh, yeah. So what do you think of this?
So it's like peanut butter, banana, you know, jelly sandwich. It was really good. This one's good. It reminds me of that whiskey company. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's in Bourbon County, which was dry for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'll remember and we'll come back to it.
I just love bourbon. It tastes. Was driving.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense.
It was one of the last counties in Kentucky that was still under that whole prohibition thing that they went to the state and got it approved, so they removed it finally.
What do you think the body of this, though? I mean, you like the. Yeah, it's smooth for you? You're probably the most refined.
It's a young. If you ever had a really young whiskey,
mm-hmm.
that's what's coming through the smell,
mm-hmm.
the taste.
It's not all like harsh.
No, it's very light. It just hasn't been in the barrel or in the stave or whatever.
It
needs a little bit more time. But that's what I was about to say.
I'm like, for me, it's like 10% away from greatness. It's good, but there's just hints of where I'm like, it's
so young,
not settling well.
It tastes sweet.
Yeah, sweet.
The sweetness comes from the White Dog. When you put it in the barrels, when you start getting the different flavors that come out, the sugars come out of the wood that change it. Obviously, the color.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good though. I like it.
I do. Good for a control burn. It's definitely different than the Jack and the Makers that we've had.
This is a light proof too.
I don't know how I feel about it. Like it's.
Well, I was good.
Well, your face bacon. Said you wanted to.
No, my face said. Oh, that's not what it smells like.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Both me and Ethan looked at each other like, that's not.
Yeah. What this
is? Sounds weird.
I smelled it and it was a little bit sweet. I was expecting like a Angel's Envy sort of sweet finish to a whiskey, right?
This was
just a punch in the face of like maple bacon.
Yeah.
Well, it could You never know. He could have finished it in like a maple stave or something, yeah. Applewood stave.
Or it could just be a happy accident, like how rye tastes like apples, you know?
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Well, that's our control burn then. So what do we got? What'd you bring out for round
two? So round one is going to be Woodinville Whiskey. It's a bourbon, straight bourbon. This one is from from Washington State. My son brought it to me, maybe 2010. So this is a 2010 series. It's 90 proof. It's pretty good. I see all the dust on it's been sitting on my back of my shelf for a while.
Washington's really not known for its bourbon, is it?
No, it was like one of the first.
Huh.
That they got into it, and I mean, it's pretty good.
We'll can you
it.
Ferment apples? I mean, I suppose you could. That's why cider. Yeah, cider. But can you make a bourbon out of it?
It wouldn't be a bourbon. It'd be a whiskey of some sort.
Okay.
Yeah. It could be, I don't know, it could be a cider.
Yeah.
Technically, right?
Yeah. That would probably also be the easier path.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm sure they use apple wood, though. They got tons of apple wood there.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, what's the other one?
The other one is... This one's a treat for you here. This one's a Horse Soldier. And,
never had it.
So there's a movie called 12 Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the military guys that went right after 9/11. They went to...
I thought it was Benghazi.
Was it Benghazi?
I think so, but there's a bunch of movies that are similar.
I think it says it on the back.
Yeah, well, they, long story short, veterans, they all came back.
All 12?
No, all 12.
Nice.
And they came back, and after they were retired, they opened up a distillery.
Out of where?
I think it's in Kentucky.
Huh. Interesting.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So these are the guys who went to the northern Afghanistan and did the horse training with the folks up there.
Right after 9/11? Yeah.
Yep. So they were gifted a beam from one of the Twin Towers, you know, from the building.
Hmm.
And what they did is they... took a section of that, and they made the mold to form each and every bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Formed with Trade Center steel.
That'd be so cool if they did like a square like that bottle wanted. Like if it was like one of the Trade Center towers.
Right.
Yeah.
Versus like the rounded edges.
Right.
But that is pretty sick though. That's pretty dope. Is that real metal that's on the...
It is metal.
This like, is... It's some kind of tin, but it's
stamped,
not... It's not whatever. It's not from the towers. It is rumored that there was a few limited models that did have some steel in it, but of course they can't do them all with that.
Yeah.
Nice steel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a heavy bottle.
Dude, but how sick would that be? Oh, you'd be like, nah, I'm going to have one of those a year.
No, that's the empty that you keep in perpetuity in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned
the story.
You were talking about Washington. You know, so I'm from Colorado originally, and we had a huge boom when I was growing up for all the microbrews.
Mm. Oh, yes, I remember that.
And what kills me the most is that not all of them were great.
Mm-hmm.
It's really rare you see any of these smaller whiskey distilleries that it's not at least good.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely is it like, oh, this is terrible. It's kind of interesting that we're in like a microbrew level of whiskeys
around
and they're distilleries. All pretty damn solid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the one we just opened with, I think he just, I don't know that it really goes out there and does it in a major production, you know, somewhere. I think it's just like a garage thing, but
yeah. And it's still not
pretty
bad at
friggin'
all.
Dope. Yeah. Like, if you put it, it has its own unique flavor. That's the thing.
I want that with my pancakes.
How sick would that be?
Yeah.
I got to use that after New Year's because I was hurting. I was leaving a snail trail everywhere I went.
Ooh. And just thicken it up a little bit.
Mm.
Yep.
Thicken up what?
Yeah, thicken it up so it's like a syrup.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, no, I meant to drink it. You have my maple here, my food, and then I drank the whiskey.
All right, pour one of those ones up. Yes.
My brain finally kicked in.
Yeah. There you
go. Hartfield & Sons.
That's what it tastes like?
Yes, that's that company in Bourbon County.
Man.
And the story behind that one, too. They that lady, Kelly Cuoco, whatever.
Cuoco?
Cuoco.
The Big Bang Theory girl.
Kelly Cuoco. Yeah, her. I don't know her name. But she actually invested in that company when she tried it. So she took a tour.
Oh, really?
Liked it and invested in it. So that took them leaps and bounds of, you know, where they were.
Yeah. Well, you can make some great stuff, but if nobody knows where you are, who you are, you're not marketed, they ain't going to know. Man.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, that should have been a soundbite. We have to do that later. But like, that should be go cut right into your intro. Maybe we'll do that this year. Speaking of this year as we go into it, 2024, there's a lot of craziness happening right now. I think that's what we're going to be talking about. It's kind of like trends, what's happening in your world for the new year.
I got a kind of a softball one.
Yeah.
This is the first year I know of that I can, at least in my time with all this, that I can pinpoint the economy and inflation has directly influenced the IT space.
In the sense of everything costs more?
Things that didn't cost anything are now costing companies millions. So two instances, there's Java. So before Python and everything else, Java ran everything, and you build on top of it. There's a lot of legacy stuff that runs on old versions of Java. Mm-hmm. Specifically, Java 8 is the big one. It's the buzzword. So the parent company...
Is that kind of like Microsoft 15 or whatever, like in that space? Yeah,
like DirectX.
Okay.
So you know, it runs in the back end. It runs all the other stuff in the back end. So a lot of old IBM software runs on it, especially. Well...
and just put it out there, a lot of the reason why it's been so foundational, so much of the bones of what we see everywhere, is it was effective, it was easily scalable, and it was free.
Yes.
And it was free.
Is the key word.
So they basically late last year, pretty much just decided, their parent company goes, we're losing a lot of money. So anything that predates this version, we're going to be charging you. And not like a little bit, depending upon the size of the company, you owe us retroactively for the last 3 years.
What?
So please pay us $3 to $5 million and or we'll see you in court.
Retroactively.
Oh, yeah.
And what? Due to terms and conditions, there's technically nothing you can do short of migrate as fast as possible.
Yeah.
This is actually following a trend. We've seen this happen with two other major companies.
Unity.
Yeah.
Oh, Unity's worse in my mind.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just following the trend. Unity and then Wizards of the Coast did the same thing with some of their licensed stuff.
For D&D.
For Dungeons & Dragons and some of those things, which was a open gaming license, very similar thing. Where
they were trying to monetize, like you sitting in your basement running a D&D campaign.
How would you monetize that?
Well, here's the thing.
That's kind of where the craziness started to get to a point.
With all of it, there's this precedence of an open license, either an open gaming license or an open use license that has been in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. And suddenly these companies are like, we want some money, so we are retroactively charging you for all the money that you've made using our licenses. For the open gaming license for Wizards of the Coast, they were like, hey, any content creators out there who've used any licensed things, you got to pay up. And
there
was backlash. They lost about 60% of their community overnight, and then they went back on it and fixed it. Unity did something similar. Unity is a huge game development company.
Among Us, everyone knows.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically three people made that game, and Unity is the backbone of that game.
Think of it like the gaming engine.
Software that it runs off of.
Yeah. The physics engine, the structure that they were able to make the game. They buy assets using this engine. Mm-hmm. They implement the assets. They code the assets. But Unity is the storefront and the landscape where they can use them. And it's largely...
Is that kind of like Salesforce? Like, that's the base and people build a bunch of shit on it? So Unity is the same thing?
It's really a good comparison.
Yeah. Okay, so Unity is the same thing, just for gaming.
Yeah, so the physics engine. When you run into something and you actually run into something and maybe your character moves or something, that's kind of the physics engine. Well, it was ubiquitous. It ran on cell phones. It ran on browsers. It sliced. It diced. It did everything. So then they basically decided one day that they will not only charge you to use it now, it was per install.
Yeah.
And they left it vague, as in if I pay for the game, you get not only do you get charged, but if I install it, you have to pay.
This is the end user who gets off of Apple?
Nope. This is just the company. So if I install the game, they were so vague, they wouldn't even comment on whether or not if I install it and then I uninstall it, but I reinstall it a year later, the company may have to pay again.
So is this inflationary or is this just the people that are in this organization's going, oh, everybody else is raising their prices?
That's where it kind of fell into is because some of these companies, like the company that parent company owns Java, they're fine. They have plenty of money.
Mm-hmm.
Unity has never charged and never hinted at it, nothing. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, by the way, if you're a small indie developer, we have just crippled you overnight. Like, because this is one of those, like, so even Among Us, they had millions and millions of dollars. They made so much money, they wanted to make a sequel. Mm-hmm. And instead, they just said, hey, guys, thank you, the community. Here's an entirely new map that was going to be a sequel. It's now free.
Just do it.
Thank you. Here it is for you guys. That's great. they're kind of going like, we're probably going to have to pull the game from every single storefront. And it's a dead game now because of Unity.
Because it was either free or cheap.
Yeah.
And it exploded overnight. So they are being charged more for their assets that were given to them freely, retroactively, than they ever made off
of it. I know they made the Unity model. I know that there was a number amount, but it was like once you had, like, we're talking tens of millions of an install base, then they requested a piece of the pie. It's like, listen, you guys clearly made a lot of money on us. Give us a little something, something.
Right.
On the reverse side, Epic Games basically said, hey, we have made a patch. So come to us and you can port any of your games into the Epic Unreal Engine, which is a way more powerful and amazing engine, for free. They're like, we're not going to literally, we will help you migrate over for free. And once you use our platform, it'll be. And
so by doing this, is this going to screw Unity over?
Oh, God, yeah. But they kind of shut themselves up.
And I think they're starting to backpedal a little bit.
But after Epic announced that change, it's a death knell. Because Unreal Engine is insane.
And again, just looking back in history, I mentioned the Wizards of the Coast thing. This is actually the second time they've tried to change that open gaming license into a paid one. Mm-hmm. It was back in, I think, 3rd edition, 10-ish years ago.
It's been a minute.
They did the same exact thing. They were like, all right, anyone who has used our content for any of their stuff that has made any money, we're going to charge you for it. And a little offshoot broke off and were like, hey, we're called Pathfinder. We will never do that to you. And now they're the second most successful gaming, like, TTRPG company ever out there because they saw the money grabbing that was going on and were like, hey, we won't do this. And they grabbed all of those people. And it's exactly
all the developers?
Well, all of those, all the player
content
base.
Content creators.
Yeah. Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Because it's content creators. It's the player base who doesn't like to see companies do this. It's everyone. Everyone knows that this is a crappy thing to do. Right?
How does this affect?
So bring it back.
Bring it back
into IT. So now
that was literally what I was going to ask. I'm like, sorry, how does this affect you guys?
Well, because clearly there's a few gamers in here. So that was you know,
Ed being the most prolific.
That was rebel. Yeah.
Which, real quick, before you loop it around, this is fantastic. This is not a young whiskey.
No.
This just punched me in the dick.
Yeah, this is a straight bourbon whiskey, so it's 4 years.
I feel like a punter's football.
Mm. Well played.
So what do you think, that. Washington State?
Mm. Washington's coming up.
Bourbon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
This is like you swing through for Voodoo Donuts, and then you go get this.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in.
It has a different taste.
Yeah.
Like
I would love some liberal policies, please.
Now, these guys, they grow everything in their farm, too.
Oh, do they really?
Barley, rye.
Oh, like that is my kind of a tour that I like to go on.
Interesting, but that last one, you obviously been to Kentucky and all that kind of stuff, so you've been and done like flights. That would be like the very first one. Oh, this is great. It's light. It's refreshing. It's got a... Stepping up. All right, here we go. We're getting bolder.
This would be number two. I need to try this, the horse soldier.
AKA the donkey puncher.
That bacon flavor just jacked your taste buds up to where this, you can pull out a lot more flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's why it's the control bourbon.
Yeah, very nice.
Or as the nickname is here, the control burn.
Yes.
Is that what I call it?
Yeah.
Is that's incorrect?
That's your thing.
No, that's...
We are in California.
No, that was my thing. I started calling it the control burn. Because I think control burn is more clever. It's, you know...
Yeah. Well, and it's also... Sure. This is California.
It's also...
We catch on fire literally annually.
Yeah. It's also not correct. Go back to Kentucky and be like, I love your control burn, please. And they'd be like...
All that means...
You must be from California.
Yeah. All that means is that we can register trademark...
Control burn.
Is control bourbon registered and trademarked?
I don't care.
It's probably a widely known, used.
Oh, I'm sure. It has to be.
Yep.
So with Java.
Oh, yes. So
they took the, hey, these guys have tried to do this and failed. Let's try to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
So in the middle of everything else, you know, that is a work stoppage event of the, hey, here's what's going on in our normal day-to-day. Oh, by the way. This needs to get yanked out of our environment as fast as physically possible. We need to upgrade. We need to switch gears. We need to change to something else, open source, or we need to upgrade. And so you have some people who can, or you have people, like I said, certain legacy technology. It doesn't run on anything else.
Java is just so integrated.
Exactly. Or sometimes they've done some upgrades that don't have some of the components. I'm going to say 17 is the one I've seen a lot of, like, kind of, a lot of traction is working really, really well as the, I guess, the newest version of Java that's, I guess, not monetized.
Yeah. Well, there's that company, that SSE company.
Yeah.
They do free versions. Mm. And I've used it a couple times on old applications that require Java.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put it on.
And again, as soon as Java started money grubbing and being that way, their entire user base tries to find something else.
Yeah. How does that affect you guys as an MSP?
Well, if we see the software, we got to pull it out.
Yeah.
And they don't want to, and you tell them, you're going to get penalized a lot of money.
Or charged.
And you don't have to vet the replacement. And that now it's a whole other set of, is this a reputable company? Is this a reputable vendor giving us the software? Does it work?
From what you guys have said, it kind of looks to me, and I'm kind of a glass half full most of the time, but all these changes going into new year and all this stuff happening, there's a massive opportunity for, pivoting, for creating new platforms, new whatever.
Yep.
I would think, right?
And just other things to become ubiquitous. Python's already been on the rise. I think this is that death nail.
I think Python is the most used currently, and I think this is going to shove it another 16-17%.
Easy.
Take this code and shove it. A what?
So we need to make shirts. That's a good one.
Make a shirt? Yeah. We have some. Yeah. Take this code and shove it.
Well, no, not just that. So there's an offshoot of Python that does database now, so it basically can
overcome
for SQL. MongoDB, I want to say, is somewhat Python-y based.
Gotcha.
My brain is relatively fried at the moment. I've been deep diving so many different things with that.
That's crazy. What's the scariest thing that you guys see this year?
Healthcare companies. Last year we saw an anonymous hacker group hacked a children's hospital.
That's right.
And locked down their servers to where no medication could be given out because they had to make sure the dosages were right and they had to make sure. And it was the level of
that's so bad.
Yes, because it's okay, healthcare, how dare you? Children, how dare you? Venn diagram of the two. There is a special place in hell for doing that.
Next to the people with cartoon tattoos.
From their perspective, right. They're trying to get money. They're trying to get it quick. If you lock down something that people really don't care about or they can replace, you lose that money. You just put all that effort and potentially showed yourself to get arrested for no reason. So things that get people's attention probably want them to pay out quick. Hospitals, children endangerment. Their reason for doing it was, well, this is horrible. It's horrible enough that they will pay us even if they don't want to because they need to save these kids.
So a broader term is the pivoting from giant conglomerate multinational companies to smaller, medium businesses, local governments. Yeah. Was it Irvine or Venice Beach? Someone's down south. I forget the city. The entire, the cities of, city of whatever shut down.
Because that was Irvine.
Irvine. Basically, they got hacked. And it was basically 11 o'clock. They shut everything off until they could figure out what to do. So nothing at the state level got processed. This is California. There's a meme there. Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't.
Ed, no, think. Ed, just do.
Hey, City of Irvine is not our client. So.
I drink, therefore I don't.
I'm surprised how many state organizations still use really old equipment.
Oh, it's because insane.
They can't migrate quickly enough off it.
Well, if it's working, why change it?
A couple of decades isn't enough time.
You're saying state? What about federal?
Callback, last time I was here, COBOL on the New Jersey servers for all their Social Security payroll.
Mm.
It shut it completely down, and that's 2014.
Oh man.
Almost 10 years ago. And I bet you they still haven't migrated. So
that's why I don't say anything, because there's no reason for it. I mean, you got to do something. You can't just sit on that.
Yeah.
So you're just going to get tapped.
Yeah. Well, and the upside is that now it's there's a lot more awareness of it. So then it pivots to MSPs or something of that size, where it's if you're in that small, medium business, it's not I haven't been hit. You need to add that yet. Either you have been hit and you have no clue, which is the scariest version, or you haven't been hit yet, which means you can get ahead of it. So
which that scares me about the whole world and everything.
And it's insane. There was one company a new client we got situated with. We were talking about, hey, have you guys been hit? Have you gotten any of these issues? And they're like, no, we just
penetrated. That's what you wanted to say, but you're like, should I? I can see it. You're so,
It's an official term.
It is an official term.
Have you been penetrated yet?
Been penetrated yet.
But
they have penetration testing.
When we ask them all those things, they're like, "No, we haven't been hit by anything. We just want to be secure. We're growing, all that."
Yeah.
And we were like, "Okay." And we went in and started putting our tools in. And Sentinel One was like, "Hey, these three machines have spyware and keyloggers. Probably been on there for a long time."
Ooh.
Which means that, you know, had those machines been accounting machines or, you know, and we don't know how much information was taken before we got involved. We know that it's not being taken now, but we were like, hey, this has been on these three important people's machines for the last probably couple of years.
Oh my gosh.
Change all of your passwords that they have access
now,
to.
Now, clean up on desktop 1, 2, and 3.
And yes. It's things like that where you don't need to have a ransomware hit. You don't need to have servers catch fire to have had catastrophic damage already happen to you.
Did you read
what
happened?
Why steal the data once when you can continually steal the data?
Yeah, yeah, don't say anything.
Yeah.
Did you hear what was that? 23andMe?
Just yes!
And then they blamed it on everybody that you didn't secure it.
Yeah, that's
crazy. That was a...
Well, not just that.
That's a lot of information.
If you want to watch a really good...
Dangerous information,
and dive on that, Linus from Linus Tech Tips. He has a... damn near get off my lawn soapbox rant about that.
Oh, I'll put that in the show notes.
Yes. The reason is because he is adamantly against it. He was vehemently against it.
Against what?
Doing any of that. Because he goes,
ancestry,
now a digital,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A digital record of my genetic code is on a server somewhere.
Yep. That anybody could go and grab and go, let's go make another one.
And then, because they do all the correlation, you know they're not treating it safely. They're interacting with that every single day, thousands of times a day, looking for patches. It is
so
liquid moving.
He told one of his aunts not to do it, and she did it anyways. And he has it's a very good take on it as somebody who's very upfront about it. He's like, that's not my realm. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, I do tech reviews, but he's like, I'm not a security expert. I don't know how it all should be done or how it should be. He goes, there's a reasonable level of me keeping certain things to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to have my entire world on the internet. And I loved it for that state, because that's a big chunk of it where we're at right now is it's the growing trend of being much more conscientious about your digital footprint moving
and
forward.
Presence, yeah, everywhere, yes.
There's an old documentary. It was a guy who was a really fun doc. It was a guy who wanted to see if he could actually just ghost everyone, go off-grid, and how long he could run away from an actual... private investigation company, and it's fantastic.
Try to find him.
Yeah, and he basically documented the entire event, and it shows with extremely little effort. They caught him in 15 days, and this is like 2006.
Yeah.
They caught him in 15 days, and it turned out basically they found out that his wife was pregnant, and that she had we needed to make sure the baby's okay meeting, and she's like, listen, whatever you do, you will be here for this appointment. So they were able to reverse engineer by digging through his garbage and finding other stuff without even hacking the man. Made a phone call in and was just like, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, like, I'm so busy. I forgot when my wife's appointment was. I think I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow. Is it 2 or 4? I can't remember what time it is.
Mm.
I was like, oh, can you please verify her birthday? And he goes, oh God, it's 20th. That's my anniversary. And as he's rattling off, it's like, ha ha, Sarah, it's unforgettable with numbers. He's going through like a Rolodex on a wall of all the information on the person.
Mm-hmm.
Grabs her birthday, and they found him that way. They literally had a point of time. They were just chilling in the hospital.
And they walked in.
And caught him.
Yeah. And be like, we found you.
And he goes in to see what they did. They have an entire conference room with a wall, like the size of your garage door, covered with every little thing they had about this person. Amazon, basically anything you've ever looked up or clicked on is actually stored in a database. You can actually ask them can I get a copy of that?
Yeah.
And
they'll mail it to you.
I've had so many prank things in my cart that they're not going to want to see.
You're not a specialist for that.
Are they pranks, though?
Yep.
Could be made of silicone on about 8 inches.
So, oh, no, it accidentally showed up on my door.
Yeah. So going back
to that. That's not mine.
That's something I've seen a lot of where I work.
No, where's that going to go? Yeah, that stuff is so scary, man.
We got some social engineering that is levels I have never seen before.
Where?
Where I currently work, which we will still remain nameless.
Yes.
But I can at least keep this relatively well open enough. So someone received a text message on their personal cell phone from a previous owner
of the company. Okay.
Asking for, hey, terribly sorry, I'm like, I'm running late with this. Can you grab me some gift cards? And so it got forwarded to us. And what we have noticed was is that the individual who got the email on their LinkedIn says exactly where they work and what they do and where they worked under. And they were able to literally back check those links based on LinkedIn searches of who used to work there and tried to hit him. Oh, it was on a personal cell phone. So the level of you needing to find out what is or isn't going on.
No, it's easy. At that point, you go on Facebook.
Well, or that's why. So on,
that's so bananas.
On LinkedIn, I officially work.
Time for round two.
That was a good one. The splash with that.
Mm-hmm.
On LinkedIn, I officially work at Redacted. Because you don't have to put an actual name of a company, so I just put Redacted.
Redacted. Okay.
You'll change it to be accurate when you're job hunting, right?
Nope. My resume is accurate.
You should call it, start a company called Redacted or Redacton.
There is a Redacted. I found that out because when I first did it, it's all like,
how
like,
congratulations.
It's not an actual place. Sorry. add brackets.
Congratulations.
my God. And going into that a little bit, too, one of the big tech trends for 2024 is just kind of a continuation of the craze that is AI in 2023.
You beat me to the joke.
No, and the...
Because I started my results. We were talking about AI again. I was going to sit down and go, so AI.
Yeah.
But going into that and keeping on the same trend that we were on is data.
That's the trend or a fear?
Well, yes. Data is better than gold now as a currency.
It is to the point...
Ask Facebook.
Well, yeah, right? No, these companies are finding out, hey, we've been taking this data from our customers for decades now to be able to use big data analytics, our big data repository databases, and basically make decisions based on trends for sales. Now I have an AI over here. Mm-hmm. We'll do it 20 times faster and 20 times more effectively.
And correlate
between our business and every other business that we want to run, that we want to interact with.
Or, hey, how you doing, company we just bought? Fun fact, John Smith over there actually does a lot of searching for this on your site and this on my site. If we work together, we could probably get them down a little bit to buy more of this product.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're actually gaming the thought process of your consumer.
Or getting the thought process of your competitors, of, hey, company A and company B. Company C is a small company that you might want to buy, and they're doing good in this space. Drop your prices 5%, and you'll
buy it out. It's the money ball of the consumer.
Yeah.
It's tracking you and your habits to literally sell you only the things that you want and that they have seen you purchase.
So those trends of gathering personal data or user data, sales data, whatever – nothing from the user's standpoint will change, but you will start to see terms of service updates. You will start to see terms of, things like that. Hey, we've updated our terms of service. Check the box and you won't notice anything different.
But what are they doing with that?
But they've either gotten your permission to correlate that data externally with AI, or they are getting your permission to gather more data than they did before because they realize even if they can't do anything with that now,
they can.
Within the year, that personal data... we're expecting a huge spike in its worth.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is the new gold mine.
Yeah.
Well, Salesforce, it is a commercial that bugs the shit out of me.
Which one?
I cringe every time. It's a Salesforce commercial.
Matthew McConaughey.
If AI is a wild wish, does that make data the new gold?
Yeah. Or who's the sheriff or something like that? Yeah.
So, and it has nothing to do with Salesforce. Salesforce.
It's true.
And it has nothing to do with security. It throws up some buzzwords as he's walking off.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with any of it, but it's
other
true.
Than the other, like you said, the other side of it is that now more data than ever before is online. So
and the
there's
whole
a weird black market showing up of the, we stole a bunch of data from this company and now it's online.
Want it?
Not just want it. What is the legality of the, we just happened to stumble upon a bunch of this data on the internet, and we're just going to plug this into our analytics?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's so crazy. I just wanted to hear something weird. It's funny you say that because, I don't know, a month ago, looking at something, went online, there it was. And I went, huh, interesting, because I only looked at that once. Here's the thing. I started testing it. Matter of fact, I haven't really talked about this. Was it a Thursday?
Yep.
I'll start looking at something, whatever it is. Friday, I'll start thinking about it. Saturday, I'll be like, I wonder what that is. I'll go to internet. Guess what I just got served? Yep. That ad. I was thinking about it.
Well, I've had phone
thinking.
I've never vocalized
it. It wasn't that. It was in other shopping on other online. Like, hey, and it was like a, this is available or whatever. And this is days after. Well, and I never typed it. I never talked about it. I never made sure this is.
After you died?
Yes.
So they could have implanted something.
Could in have, possibly. Well,
and, do you have the V-chip? Minutes. Have you swore late?
Yeah.
And right there
it's kind crazy.
Of the, we are hitting the upper bell curve of what they do with technology. We are where it's been gathering and using it directly, gathering. And then there's a spike in how useful it is because now they have enough trend data. Mm-hmm. You, Tyler, are categorized perfectly. You and hundreds or thousands of people who are exactly like you as far as your trends, your shopping methods, everything like that, they know exactly who you are. And they know 50 of the other ones, as soon as they hit this, they started searching for this. And they're like, hey, Tyler's probably interested in it.
Yep.
Serve it up.
Guess what? Here it is. Mm-hmm. And I go, yeah, I will get that.
And it just adds to the trend. And
did you buy it?
I think so.
Money.
And so they've gotten to the point where it stopped being, hey, we're gathering data to understand you more. And hey, we've gathered enough data that we are now
understanding
what you want on such a perfect level.
Before you do.
If that's where they stopped, I'd be fine with it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
not where they stopped.
That is the goal of it. That was the goal, was to make a perfect market that caters to the individual.
It's now and I don't know how this folds into MSP. Maybe, you know, companies want to, you know, look how to do it for employees, either retention or whatever. It's now going to trend into like a control mechanism. We know you did this. We know you saw this. We know you think this.
And well, that's the bigger issue. About 5 or 10 years ago, people were requesting your LinkedIn, your Instagram, your Facebook, all your social media things so that they could actually profile you as to whether or not you'd be a good
employee. If all those platforms are talking and sharing, we're fucked.
I mean, depending upon how conspiracy theory you want to go, that, you know, we had a lead government official from China came to visit San Francisco, had a dinner with many people in the tech industry, and then the next day everyone pulled all their funding from Twitter. I'm not saying that these things are correlated.
I'm just going to point and whistle.
I'm just saying it's slightly suspicious. But again, we go back historically and you saw that analytical data was used by Facebook to basically see what you like. So it's the Facebook algorithm of here's what I like and here's what I want.
Yeah, talk a little closer to the mic.
Sorry. So it's Facebook.
Oh, now there you are.
So Facebook algorithm.
Pull it up a little bit.
Here's what I want. Here's what I like.
Yeah.
And here's what I like to look for when I'm on Facebook. Here's how long I'm on Facebook. And I always turn it off.
There he is.
Whenever I get to, like, I don't know, it's a certain amount of time or a certain amount of things I do. Well, they were starting to use the analytical data of what you looked up, like for government or whatever. And then they would move for that. And so then you're getting into a silo of you only see the things you want from IT to tech. Yep.
No,
governmental.
No, and here's
and so then they pivot that everywhere.
And my conspiracy theorist part of me, right, which isn't as great as some of the folks in this room, is that they did the same thing with the political side of it.
Not a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, that's where I was ending. My bad.
Yeah.
It's the idea that you, Tyler, me, Ethan, you, Ed, all of us, when we go onto our Facebooks, when we see the views of other people, unless they're our friends, our family members, things like that, the things that we see that are randomly are made to align with what we believe.
Oh, hold on. 100%.
So, not only is it made to align with what we believe, unless it's a direct line, it is made to get us, if it's not what we believe, it's just slightly enough to aggravate us into thinking what we believe is right.
And
every single person is getting that, not solely, but definitely contributed to the huge divide of, everyone knows what I know. Everyone believes what I believe. How can anyone believe the other thing?
Yeah.
So, has been so contributed to by social media when everyone sees this information and no one knows. They're only seeing stuff that's catered to them.
So from an MSP thing is that you have smaller businesses that are using Google for their email, you know, maybe not Microsoft, maybe they don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
MSP has been doing it. And so you don't have the funds, especially in this economy, to be able to go hard in the paint with your security, with your team. Mm-hmm. If you're a dental office, you're dealing with, you know, a lot of dental hygienists and people that are predominantly female. Mm-hmm. And everyone loves taking selfies. Everyone loves hearing what they're at work, what we had at Starbucks and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
By itself, that's not a lot. MSP will be able to at least kind of give you a bigger trend these days is like penetration testing, because it's fun to say.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually then...
It's fun to do.
A lot of like MSPs are starting up with that, because now instead of just, hey, let's ask what do you guys, what do you or don't you do? Now let's test you.
So does that come in? Do you ever get requests out of, I want you to watch these people or this group of people in a certain size? VIPs, can you?
VIPs, very attacked people.
Yeah.
It's actually a term.
Yeah, is it really?
I've been at three companies, and it's essentially, if you are externally facing enough, mm-hmm. you get enough spam, enough people.
Like sales?
Accounting.
Yeah.
If you have, you know, I mean, you know,
do you see
have
it?
Accountant, you know, whatever.com.
I've only seen it a couple of times, and it's very uncomfortable when you get that.
Yeah.
When they ask you?
Yeah. Oh, so you're talking about, we know somebody did something, please watch them.
Skeeter?
Yep. Or there's also the, hey, we have reason to believe that there was unfortunate, uncomfortable, illegal, you know, yes. sorts of emails, actions.
So luckily for
things
them,
taken.
Yeah. The reason it doesn't happen to them often is when you come in as an MSP, essentially, I view it as kind of like the varsity team. We've done this. What's the farmers commercial? We've seen a thing or two because we've seen it too.
Yeah.
So essentially, this is our tool set. It is strong. So they come in, they install it everywhere. And then in that shotgun blast, that's when they find out the uncomfortable stuff immediately. So before anyone has to go, hey, look over at Jan in accounting, we're seeing some discrepancies in money.
Mm-hmm.
They already know. So that's just a quick email out as opposed to finding out after the fact, which catch 22 is usually that's the, hey, how did we not catch this? Oh, well, unfortunately, you know, we talked about this process,
yeah.
and this paperwork.
You need to stick to it, Jan.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't worry. I heard it too, but I think you stepped on the cord.
Oh, okay.
And it cut off the circulation to the cord.
That makes sense.
And it cut off his mic.
So speaking of cutting off circulation, since you haven't tried this before, what was your thoughts on the
Is this one? Horse well, the first one, the
blew it out of the water.
The thing would punch me in the now. This horse punched me in the dick.
This is 121.5.
Kick me in the dick. That's what I'm saying.
I'm 121.5.
Like, it's time for a nap. Mm.
Goodness.
And I've been a good boy these past couple days too. I haven't had anything, so this is tasty.
You knew we were coming.
Yeah,
through.
I'm like,
it's like that's a lot of whiskey at once.
What was prepare. It? Your,
incident?
What did you call the January?
Dry January?
I came in and he was like,
I thought you were about to say six and then get canceled.
No. when I came in, he was like, so any of you guys participating in dry January? I'm like,
I need a drink. No. To talk about
Have you? Yeah, yeah.
January.
Well, let me get a drink and talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Tell me about how this is going to make it.
It's just pretty good, though.
It says piked up.
It's uncut, unfiltered, so you can
do whatever.
You can taste it.
Mm-hmm.
How many barrels do they produce? Do you know? Did they ever talk about that? Like, give it its size?
So
I don't know. He might. He looked
good. When I went, it's not a bigger distillery. So
when you went to the distillery?
So I went to, there's a local place that does a cigar night.
And oh.
They, I guess, many of the founders, they still go out and they're the lead salespeople.
Hmm.
So if you catch them on the right night, you'll talk to them as one of the guys who founded it. And so
who was over in?
Yeah.
Riding in it, wow, that's crazy.
And so it's like, I was like, this is a great conversation. And you'll just get some cool stories and they'll tell you about stuff. And it's great because it's like talking to any military vet.
Yeah.
You can tell they're there to sell a product. They'll sell it to you for 7 minutes and then they'll just sit there and answer every question you've ever asked.
Yeah.
Because they know you're there for the experience and the people. And it's just.
And to hear their stories. I'm sure they're pretty crazy. Can you imagine going over there after that and go, why don't you work with locals to develop a.
Yeah.
A modern day viable cavalry.
I really ride horses.
I was in Afghanistan working with the Afghan army. Those guys are hysterical.
So, Tyler, if you're thinking of buying one of these,
mm-hmm.
I got Joe one for his birthday a week ago.
Horse Soldier Bourbon just came up, and all I did was do Horse Soul SOL.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know?
So, Apple. I bought Joe one of these for his birthday.
Yeah.
Signed bottles over at Total Wine right now.
They have them signed?
Signed.
Dang, dude.
They're, like I said, it's not exactly an upstart, but it's kind of a younger group. So they're very, very aware of how to get it rolling.
And we need to send them this episode of us telling them.
And we'll talk about it. Yeah.
To get our first ever official whiskey sponsor.
We need to get a few sponsored barrels.
I say we got to show up a lot.
Right? And get some guests for the podcast.
I guarantee you.
That's actually a really good idea.
Ironically, that's a big thing I've noticed.
You know, I come up with good ideas all the time. You all act surprised every single time.
In beer we trust, Ethan.
But you didn't mention it to Adrian when he was looking for a distillery to buy a barrel from.
I wasn't consulted by Adrian when he was looking for a distillery to buy a barrel from.
Fair enough.
And to be fair, since the last time I was here, I've been asking for Adrian to put this podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Isn't it?
Fun.
Nope.
No, I think we're still trying. We're still getting the.
I vote we blame Apple.
Counter, whatever. He's yeah. We'll talk offline about.
He needs to do his stuff.
The other one that got me was so physical security has seen an uptick.
Oh yeah.
There's you can short YouTube search. There's ways to get past some known security measures that are staggering.
Yeah.
My favorite one was due to fires.
Yeah.
You have to have all doors have to be able to unlock due to fire. So a guy found out that if you turn a can of compressed air upside down, you know how it does that white smoke puff?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a guy, he goes, oh, this is a very secure door. He goes, yeah, it really is. And he just sticks it through there and just goes, pfft, and it hits a sensor, unlocks the door immediately, and he walked in.
Yeah, it was a visual smoke detector, right? Yeah,
because it is a requirement. So now you're running into, due to safety regulations, you can't make certain things secure.
Which is why the military's never had issues with that, because when I worked with the E3 AWACS, they did not have parachutes, they had hatchets. You broke the hard drives on your way down.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck your safety.
Yeah.
Safety third, the military term.
Do you guys do any physical security, do you?
We do.
Technically, cameras. Yeah. Cameras are part of the
cameras. Right.
Cameras, some audio sensors, door locks, things.
Got it.
We do full suite. That's not necessarily new, but we've definitely hit our stride with that within the last 6 months.
Gotcha.
That is definitely something on the rise.
Yeah. There's also the aspect of it that is part of most compliances, NIST, you can talk for hours probably about compliance.
Have to be secure.
It's the switching, because there's talking about big data. There's some things with big data, it's stored on this cloud server that is, air quotes, your server. It's still housed outside of your control. A lot of places are starting to kind of move certain chunks or subsets of data internally. So now that's, again, back to having an MSP or somebody who knows what they're doing to go, what can we get away with being online, and what should we really think about having ours?
And the trend goes back and forth. It feels like year, 1 year, it's go cloud, it's more secure. And the next year, it's like, have control of your data. Mm-hmm. And it feels like every single time a data center is hacked, it goes one way every single time.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about that.
You know, the trend goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Who's controlling the narrative? The big Salesforces, the Googles, and all them.
Them.
The proverbial.
Don't cancel me, guys. Honestly, I still want to scroll.
I think that it's not quite to a level of like the Illuminati, if you will, of IT is dictating it. There's a lot of just the what I want to have access to. Funds is huge, because I mean, you can run. You can run virtual servers using Amazon stuff for cents on the gigabyte.
Yeah.
It's insanely cheap to spin up your own stuff in the cloud. To have it on prem is
expensive.
Yeah. It is very
expensive. And the overhead of managing it. You know, if you do it yourself and you learn, good on you. But that's a full time job. Mm-hmm. If you hire it out, okay. Now I need to buy all this hardware, and I need to pay someone to administer it. And keep it running, and do upgrades.
And every time that a cloud-based thing, such as OneDrive, Dropbox, there's so many different, even cheap, available cloud-based services. Every time one of them makes a security breakthrough, they're like, hey, we're a viable option. We're cheap. And people flood over, and it works. It's great. And then something breaks, people get scared. They're like, oh, our data. Mm-hmm. And they decide that if it's more expensive, it must be better, sink the dollars into it, and it's just this perpetual cycle of these cloud-based companies wanting customers, and so constantly trying to be more secure.
This is not necessarily tinfoil hat, but just something I've noticed on my level.
I think we're at tinfoil, maybe copper.
We're copper.
We're
at the Faraday level of hat.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of my brain.
So something I've noticed recently is the amount of places that no longer have you log in and give payment information, they have you go, do you want to use Google Pay or Apple
my
Pay?
Gosh, yes, I do that all the time.
The reason is that that is an entire chunk of your company that you don't even have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
It's data retention or processing. Because
they
payments.
Want it.
You just went from compliance level 3 to 1.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. You become a gold star because it's like, well, how do you handle payments? Oh, that's Google and Apple's problem. You just defer to a third party.
So easy for the customer.
Their secure client. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, I will give Apple and Google that. They are really good about it's just a plugin.
Yeah.
So as we always say in security, is effective ways to reduce the attack surface. It's not we're never going to get hacked. It's we are, but can we make it as small as possible?
Yeah,
we want it to be a thermal port at the end of a very long trench.
Yeah.
And when it happens, what are our responses to it?
Is I make a Star Wars reference and not a single smile in this room.
I smiled. I smiled.
I don't think I heard it.
That's fine. Let me go back to my whiskey.
And again, part of the job of the MSP and part of the job of a lot of our tools is, hey, when there's a zero-day attack that literally no one has defenses of that gets infiltrated, when there's these things that just in the cyber world cannot be avoided, what happens? Are you secure? Does it get wrapped up and taken care of quickly for you, or does it become a bigger problem? And when you use the correct tools, when you have the correct implementation, when you're within compliance, either way it's meant to be built, you're fine.
And just knowing. Just,
well, hey, I don't want to be fucked.
Here's the
thing. Go ahead. We had an incident.
Yeah.
We had one
recently?
A
couple days ago.
On New Year's Day.
No.
So,
that was a couple days ago.
1 a.m., start getting emails from our security suite.
I was going to say, who's up at 1 a.m. on New Year's?
It's AI. Well,
and
the AI starts sending us emails.
And an effective MSP should implement a network operation system, system operation center, all those sort of things to work even when your employees aren't.
Yep.
So we get the email from the AI. The usual, hey, this happened. We killed it.
Mm.
This one was, this happened. They tried this. It was different. I looked at it and went, oh, this is different.
It didn't respond the same way?
No. This was a different response.
This is what happened. And then, you're fucked.
Yeah, no, this is, it said, hey, this is what happened. It didn't say it killed quarantine over. It said, this is what happened. And it keeps trying. 40 emails later.
What?
Yeah.
I get a SOC representative that says, hey, here's what happened. Because I saw 40 emails. I'm like, holy crap, what's going on?
I'm not going back to sleep.
So after the first attempt, the AI stopped it, and then it ran again.
Mm-hmm.
And AI stopped it, it ran again. AI put a bubble. The firewall for Sentinel-1 put a bubble around that machine. So now that machine has no contact to the world. Or internally, it's in a, on its own island.
Mm-hmm.
So they allowed it to run its course. And they gather the end result, and they rewind, like a DVR, rewind it back, let it run again, let it run its course, rewind, let it run again. They want to see how far and how smart this thing was. They let it run 40 times. So they gave
Who's day?
So essentially,
the AI...
The talking about, it, they created a honeypot. Nothing can go in or out. So if you let it do what it's supposed to do, it's going to try and gather... It's going to follow its main programming, which is probably steal all data. And they want to see, what does that entail? Is that something here's we can cool track thing. And plan to stop again?
The cool thing is when you let it run and it starts doing different things, the AI is recording all this, so it's immediately sending it out to the cloud. So now everybody else in the world who's running Sentinel-1 is now seeing this and can stop it.
And it's all...
ChatGPT's a bitch.
It's all anonymized. So they just know if this new malware gets into your system, here's what's going to do.
Malware.
They let it run 40 times and it gave up.
And so, the
cool, holy smokes.
And the cool thing about it is when they let it run, obviously the AI was learning it, saw that it, within malware there are like key pieces of code that identify the malware.
Mm-hmm.
It learns these and it makes basically a list. Hey, this is blacklisted. This is malware. Anyone else in the world who sees this, block it.
The cool thing is that we got to experience something new.
Yeah, it was a 0 day attack. It was nothing before it with that same key.
It's never ran before, so it created this whole storyline.
And basically,
it's called a storyline.
Basically, what this malware did was it accessed a antiquated account. We chatted with them before. This particular user had died a while ago. They didn't let us know, so it was an old account that was sitting there, just sitting on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
They accessed it and using it. Using this 0 day thing, created a new account with the same naming conventions, the same everything, so it'd blend in with elevated rights.
No way.
On the local machine.
They used malware to create an admin account. So there were three or four different steps there, three or four different pieces of malware to do each step. They got in, they got a hold of a account, they used that account to make another account, they elevated the rights, right? And each step...
AI did all this?
No, this was...
I enjoy the fact in the middle of this story, your heart rate monitor is going off on your damn Apple Watch. Yeah. You're stressing the man out. You need more
I'm going to die if it hits to 81. I'm a 79.
So essentially, it watched what happened. And this malware or virus, it tries to grow and get higher elevation until it can get out and start infecting other machines. The end goal is to get on the server and get all the information and then ultimately ransomware everybody.
To an AD level, and then you have access to every single account.
The Matrix was right. I'm going
to
watch it.
Similar thing happened to Cisco
earlier this year. Hackers is way more right than people give it credit for.
Mm.
Well, same thing happened with Cisco earlier this year. There was a huge thing with Cisco where there was a guy who went in and put on some malware that created an account, created a second account, and gave it root privileges, which is the highest you can go. And just like, hey, I can access everything in any Linux environment ever. And it was fixed.
Done.
Because it was such a big deal. Like, when you get into it, finding a way to elevate your privileges is one of the most dangerous things that you can do within a network.
It's to a point of where almost every single EDR scene, anytime anyone elevates access, period, it's immediately a critical vulnerability flag. Hey, this happened. Could be legitimate, could be not.
But
this happened. Yeah.
Damn.
So he was talking about, so originally back in the day, it was hashes. Every file has its own digital signature.
Mm-hmm.
YARA rules are kind of the new version of it. And it's, there's a buddy of mine, he has this down to a science. But essentially, it's more of a heuristic rule set of the, if this, then this, plus this happens, it's probably this.
So it's
behavioral logging of malicious intent. Yep. So if I see the following things happening over and over. So the best part about that bubble he was talking about is there's a system backup. I know SentinelOne's really big on their backups.
Yeah.
Right. So you can roll back. Basically click two buttons.
But which is a good analogy. That makes sense.
So they knew we got the data. We're golden. Let's let this thing go ham. Let's let it do whatever the hell it was supposed to do.
Just to see.
And we can see.
Not just to see.
We can track it.
See if it's polymorphic.
Yeah.
Which is a very fancy security term to mean that if I roll it back and you've caught me, no, I've been caught. I must actively change my code and run a different way.
Polymorphic malware is the nut.
It ran 40 times.
Yeah, 40. So what
different times are the
yes.
same?
Yes.
No, they rewound it and they ran differently every time it ran differently.
Makes it harder to find that key code, but not impossible.
And the scary part is polymorphic has existed pre ChatGPT.
Yeah.
This is all scary that I don't think a lot of people know.
Well, it's...
vast majority.
But if you were to go talk to the person who owned that computer, you would just tell them you got a virus.
Also,
you know,
you're talking about that attack surface.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that code could have been on forever. It's 0 day, so it goes off at New Year. It went off at midnight.
Yeah, on New Year's.
That's crazy. When holidays, people wouldn't be in for a few days, wouldn't be able to see the...
Oh, yeah, that's true. Know, timing, yeah.
Holidays are the most stressful time for IT security personnel. In a completely different
it's when everybody's chilling.
Well, you ask
it's when normal people are chilling, and then you have the hackers know that no one's there.
Well, you ask Ed and I, we talk about, you know, we get time off for the holidays and stuff like that. And for the last, you know, three sets of holidays since I've been here, we've done at least in some capacity work during that time off because that's when it happens.
You know what else we should do for the holidays is keep talking so I can't go to the bathroom.
Yes,
of course.
You need pause?
You just get to pee his pants. No, actually, I think we're good. We've covered so much stuff.
I love coming to hang out, but every time I come to hang out, I said it last time. How much time do we have? Because we're scratching surfaces.
We came in here, we were like, yeah, we can talk about some of the 2024 trends we've seen. How many do you want to cover?
All of them.
I have 8 left. Well, I literally have a list, and I was just like, we have lit the man.
Save that, because crazy. I think something that we should chat, right, going into 24 is your everyday, how do you handle this, the normal layperson?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? What do you suggest? What do you recommend as it pertains to everything you do online? Because that's digital, and that's the space that you guys cover.
Yeah.
All right, so.
That'd be fun.
Yep.
All right, there you have it. We will see you next time. Whiskey and Wires.